and welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. And this week I am going to do something a little bit difficult and something that we as a show have done before, but not in this particular way, I don't think, or that I remember, because with sales of tickets of New York City Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con being this week, I want to do a 2018 guide to conventioneering. And the reason why it's going to be a little harder for me to do this year is because I'm doing it solo. I don't have somebody with me this week to go back and forth with on that, on this particular subject, as much as I would like to. So that being said, I would implore you or ask you kindly to email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or contact us on the various social media sites, either Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, in regards to helping me fill in the blanks, so to speak. Whether you're a vendor or a ticket holder, or you've been a guest. I don't mean a ticket holder. There is a difference between a guest and a ticket holder. A guest is usually somebody that the promoters of the show invite to the show, and normally sometimes they are paid for their services and what have you. But I want to hear from you, from your side, and what your take and what your recommendations are, including some of your stories that you might have from particular shows or conventions, if you may, about your experiences, either on one side of the table or the other. We'll try to cover, or at least I'll try to cover, as much of it as I can over the next couple of minutes or next hour or so. But there is a lot to cover, and for those of you who have never been to a show, let me just state and start by that is covering that question. There are many types of conventions and shows. There is the sports type of show, and I don't mean by a football, or even though there are shows or conventions like that, but I'm talking more along the lines of camping and hunting. Yes, there's gun shows, and yes, there is the like, but from what I remember as a child going to some of these shows with my father and with other members of the family that brought me along, it's more like an outdoors type of show. RVs, sometimes the fishing, along those lines. And there's usually people selling guns. Not to my knowledge, but there's a lot more. I remember a lot more boats and RVs at these type of shows than there were guns. But I've been to one or two gun shows with my father at one time or another. But me personally, I enjoy more of the pop culture reference. But a convention or show is usually something put on in regards to a specific topic or genre. Like I said, there's sports show, camping shows, or outdoor shows, like for hunting and fishing and camping. There's sports shows or sports cards type shows in regards to sports cards. I'm sure there's plenty of non-sports card shows. There are conventions and shows. It all depends on the genre and what they are. Sometimes they're called conventions and sometimes they're called shows. It all depends on the person putting it on or how they wish to market it. But they all tend to be relatively the same in some way. Meaning, depending on the size, they usually have a dealer or industry room. Meaning, in one big room. Sometimes some shows, let me put it like this, some shows have the same basic format, which means there is one room for, sometimes it's one room for dealers, one room for the independent folks, and one room for strictly industry folk, and another room for the celebrity guests, if there are any celebrity guests. I'm sure there's a few celebrity guests in the outdoor genre, but in regards to sports cards and that genre, you could have the popular baseball, football, hockey, golf, even people come and sign autographs. As per horror, it's again the actors, and relatively pop culture wise, it's usually some sort of celebrity, author, writer, artist. They cover all, like I said, the standard format is a industry slash, sometimes more often than not, it's an industry slash dealer room where you might have someone from, if it's, let's say, a outdoors type of show. You might have someone from, let's see, who's an RV company? Like a Winnebago, you're going to have Winnebago's there, whoever makes, you know, that particular RV. You're going to have a boat company showing off their latest models. You're going to have a couple of dozen vendors there selling RV stuff, maybe camping stuff and fishing stuff. And there's usually, at these events, at these shows, is usually what's called panels. And what these panels are is usually you have some sort of expert going on about, now I wouldn't say going on, explaining or teaching the people who are at that panel a particular subject. Like, again, going with the outdoorsman type of model, they might have someone there showing people how to use the proper bait and the proper casting technique. You'd be surprised how many people don't know how to fish and, you know, how to better their fishing experience and what type of baits to use in certain situations, what type of lines to use, what types of fishing poles to use, who knows. And when it comes to pop culture, me being more of an expert on that and more knowledgeable on that, you might have folks that are, that will be talking about how to do special effects and how makeup is applied, how to put together the proper cosplay outfit and making props for that outfit. And you might have, in some of the larger shows, you might have folks telling about, from the industries, telling about the latest movies that are coming out, latest products coming out, and while on the show floor, they could be showing those products or selling some of the more current products that they are offering. So it is a wide variety of stuff, and there's a wide, wide spectrum that is out there. Now, other music-related conventions or out there? Probably. I think more or less they might be festivals. Or along the line, meaning that you have stuff like Ozfest and what have you. Now, there could be vendors and panels there, but who knows? I don't frequent these type of events, but I'm sure there are music-related festivals that are out there or music-related conventions that are more industry-based. So, in regards to that, but they are fun. They will increase your knowledge. As much as I want to attend one particular panel about the aspect of how comics can be banned and how some comics are considered illegal and how an organization such as the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund helps squash that and helps fight comics from being banned and what's considered, you know, the legal aspect. I'm not a lawyer in any way, shape, or form, but it would have been something to sit in on and actually listen to what that particular person had to say and had to teach. So these are fun stuff to enjoy and to be a part of. So we will be at the Eastern Panhandle Paracon this Saturday and Sunday, which is the 21st and 22nd of this month. So it's going to be interesting to see and hear what some of these folks have to say about hunting the paranormal and maybe something about cryptozoology or mysterious beasts and hunting ghosts. So it's that something that for an open-minded skeptic as myself to listen in on, and hopefully will bring you a lot of content from that show to share with you in regards to that. So stay tuned. But this is a conventioneering guide in regards to show, so to everything, to conventions and shows. So the next kind of topic I want to bring up and talk about is the kind of the aspect of, should you go to a bigger show or a smaller show? Now, that all depends on you personally. There are some people that prefer the bigger shows and some people that prefer the smaller shows. Now, there is pros and cons to both, because they both have the lure of you going to those shows. And they are, the cons are a lot bigger. You know, I'm saying this wrong, and I do apologize. The way they are situated, and they are a benefit for both. It's hard to say what the conventions are, the cons are for a convention. And I think for a larger show, the bad side to them is that you might have to travel to some of them. And this is coming from someone that may have to travel an hour or two to a bigger city. Now, it might be easier for some people to go to a larger show, such as a Wizard World or a Otakon or a Baltimore Comic Con, because they live in the city. It's easy for them to take a metro line or a public transportation to these events, go to them, and it's really simple. But for someone like myself or the rest of the people that would love to go to these, that is that could be a downside, that they have to pay out a lot of money to get to there, whether it's through airfare, in essence, travel expenses, hotel expenses, food, and everything else. Not to mention, a lot of the bigger shows, they tend to cost more in reference to admission, and they have, let's see, what else? In reference to the smaller stuff, the smaller shows, the bad side is that they might not have a lot of the more popular guests that a larger show has, but they might be as equally interesting to see, or they might have one or two bigger guests and a lot of smaller known guests that can still be beneficial for you, but that's another thing. But they're more personal. That's going on the plus side. But the large, that's one of the bad sides for a larger show. They're not that personal. You're kind of, as a ticket holder, you're kind of moved through the line, and a lot of the stuff inside the show might be a little bit more on the expensive side. Whereas, even though price-wise, you have that larger selection of vendors, and you have a good chance of finding something on the cheap, but there's that probability you won't, because there could be that statue or that print or that poster that at a smaller show could be about $10, $15, and at a larger show it's $20 to $25. So that's the downside. That's the downside for a larger show. But the benefit is, the plus is better guests, more variety, more people to interact with if you like that. And there's loads more to see, especially if it's in a larger metropolitan area like New York or D.C. or Baltimore. You have not just, if you get bored at the show, you have the local city attractions to actually go see, and the local nightlife if you're staying over the weekend to see, as opposed to a smaller show. Now, with smaller shows, like I said, you're not going to get the larger named guests a lot of the time, but you're going to see, you're going to have quality guests, you're going to have maybe a lot of cheaper prices, cheaper admission to get in, and you could have just as fun at a smaller show as a larger show. And the thing is, there are some times when a smaller show, like we've covered in the past, I think it was either earlier this year or last year when we covered in regards to what happened with Monster Mania in New Jersey, I think it was, when they just got flooded with ticket holders, people buying tickets, and in essence, they ran out of room. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes that's a downside and that's a problem, is that if they have that one or two quality guests that everybody wishes to see, and it's in that area that a lot of people will flood to, therefore, well, that's, you know, they're going to come in, they're going to overflow the environment, the convention where it's held, and there could be attendance problems. That's always a downside. But the thing is, it's more personal, where if you're at a larger event dealing with a major celebrity, it's going to be, hi, how you doing? And sign, next, sign, next, sign, next, sign, next. At a smaller, you might be able to have a brief little conversation with that particular guest and talk to that guest. Not, I won't say at great length about something, but if it's, you know, you could have that little bit of a conversation because there could be a lull. So that's the benefit, and plus, it, like I said, it's more personal. You could hang out a little bit longer. You could do things. You can take your time, but there might not be that nightlife in that particular town to warrant staying. Even though you might be staying a few days, there might not be nightlife to go see outside in that particular town. Now, I'm not saying all towns don't have nightlife. There is nightlife in a lot of towns, and a lot of towns have a lot of weekend activities to also partake in and what have you. So there is that to look forward to. You can also always explore the local attractions too, and who knows, there could be a local fan event in regards to something, if something was filmed in that particular area, whatever it might be. So to kind of move on a little bit is what to kind of wear at a show. I know a lot of you out there might want to dress up as your favorite character. Please, you're more than welcome to do so. In regards to that, just beware in reference to what attachments that you put with that particular outfit or bring with you, because a lot of conventions have a weapons policy, and sometimes if it's a spear or a gun looking add-on or accessory for that, they might not allow that in the building because of what it looks like, even though you try to make it as accurate and fake looking as possible to bring into the event, they might not allow you to do it due to policy. Now, as for just being a regular ticket holder, please dress for the weather, dress comfortably, and wear comfortable shoes. You, as much as some of you might not mind walking around in high heels, I can't speak for everybody, but it might not be something that is recommended for a walking around on a concrete floor for maybe about 8 hours if you're there that long. But if that's part of your outfit for a cosplayer, please, I'm sure a lot of you have the tips and tricks in regards to making your feet a little bit more comfortable. Again, if you're a cosplayer, please feel free to email us in regards to how you deal with the heat and the cold during a lot of these events. Let me add this in. As much as we are trying to do this in regards to San Diego Comic-Con, for the most part, in recent years, conventions have been a year-round affair. But in the past, like earlier, this century as like maybe 2002. Most conventions started in spring and kind of ended in late fall. So this is roughly, as far as I'm concerned, the middle of the convention season, because, well, it's summer and a lot of people are off from school. This is when usually a lot of people take vacation. So this is roughly the busiest time for conventions, even though there have been many conventions that happen during the late fall to early spring, through early springtime, and thus covering that winter time where there's a lot of snow. I think a lot of northern states don't have conventions during the winter time due to bad weather. So, but if you're a promoter and you do cover or do shows during the winter months, please let me know to or email the show and let us know how you're able to cope with the winter aspect in the northern states, or the northern northeastern states, or northwestern states where we get a lot of snow. So there's that, but dress accordingly. You don't want to be walking around in t-shirt and shorts in the middle of winter. I know there's quite a few people that tend to do so in the middle of winter in negative 20 degree weather that do that, but just be comfortable. And if you do attend during this section, because there are a lot of cosplayers that are out there, and granted there are a lot of cosplayers that transcend the spectrum out there, just I want to say this right here, right now, because that particular cosplayer is in that outfit, it does not mean consent. And I say this because there has been several instances in the geek pop culture realm in regards to some cosplayers sexually assaulting other cosplayers, and people who are just general ticket holders that are not in cosplay sexual assaulting cosplayers. So please be advised, cosplay is not consent to sexually assault a cosplayer in any way, shape, or form is a bad thing. You will be up and including to ejected from that show. A lot of shows have a cosplay is not consent policy, or a cosplay harassment policy. So please be advised in regards to that. This is in regards to that particular what to wear. Also, when you're going into a show, due to an incident, I want to say last year, because that's when we first encountered it. Not every convention will have it, but a lot of conventions will now have a more so of a weapons check than a anything else. I know there are some conventions that hold have a weapons check, but they will check bags as well. We'll get into what to bring with you to a convention in a moment, but a lot of conventions are now doing bag checks and, you know, everything else, and they might even wand you down with a kind of a metal, like a wand. They'll do a security check. This is due to the fact that actor and MMA person, UFC fighter, Jason David Frank, who was once the Green Power Ranger way back in the day, last year the incident was stopped way before it actually got to happen. But he was threatened on social media in regards to a crazed fan wanting to meet him, wanting to do several wrong things to him and violent things to him. And thanks to a lot of people that were in attendance and monitoring their situation outside the show, they stopped it in time. They notified the proper authorities in time, and the authorities arrested this person in time. And they found a lot of loaded weapons in his possession. And he turns out this person that they arrested was crazy. And Jason David Frank thanked the people that in essence, put a stop and did the process before anything violent could happen at the event. But because of this event, what a lot of other conventions have done is do a security check to make sure nothing weird or happens to everybody and that everybody inside the convention center is safe. And that's one of the things that you have to be, I wouldn't say you have to be concerned with, that's, you don't have to be concerned with, is what I should be saying, is because you're there to have a good time, and a lot of policies in regards to the convention, the people who put on these events, that's what they'll tell you, is, let us worry about security, let us deal with that, we want you to have a good time, we want you to be a part of this event, we want you to have fun, we want everybody to be included and be safe at the same time. So please give those on staff a little bit of leeway if that's the trade-off in regards to you having a good time. And please do it. So please listen to the folks. Make sure that you are having a good time. Now, what to bring, in essence, bring, not bring. First off, let's cover the cash needed. Depending on the event that you're going to, and depending on how far away that event is, the necessary funds to bring with you is to get you there, keep you there, and get you in the door. Meaning, if the event is within your city limits, you don't really have to worry about staying in a motel, really worrying about takeout food such as like a McDonald's or a Pizza Hut or Domino's or something of that like. But you still need funds to get in the door in regards to admission and coming back. And if anything, if you, or public transportation to get on the bus or subway or driving to that location. But overall, if it's out of town, the funds that you would need is to get you there in regards to gas, tolls, etc., etc. If you're staying overnight, the hotel cost, any food for restaurants and or takeout establishments such as a Domino's or a local pizzeria or a McDonald's, etc., etc. Now, this if whatever that amount is, whether it's $100, $500, $1,000, make sure that is separate from everything else. Make sure, because you want to be able to get there, stay there, and get home safe. Because there have been many, many stories of people arriving the day of the convention, going straight into the convention, spending every dime that they have at that particular event, and thus realizing that they don't have any money for food, any money for gas on the way home, any money for the tolls on the way home, or any money for the hotel to keep them there for the 3 days, or for however long that they're staying there. So set that cash aside, set that amount aside. If need be, get one of those disposable or rechargeable credit cards. Put the funds on that, if need be, that, and put it in a safe spot out of the way, and have something else on hand for the actual con spending, because you want to keep those amounts separate. And speaking of which, that I've known a lot of people who went to events that left their credit cards and their ATM cards at home because they did not want to spend their rent money, their mortgage money, their car payment, etc., etc., at the event. So it provided them a level of security to in regards to not overspending and not overextending themselves. And granted, they were living within maybe about 15-minute, 20-minute drive of the event, and some of these people that I know live in a major metropolitan area. So please keep that in mind. You want to keep your home. You want to, whether you're renting or get buying it through the bank or what have you, you need your vehicle. So these are things you have to take into consideration when you're going. Now, what to bring with you in regards to cash to spend actually at the event, aside from getting in the door. Literally, you don't have to bring any extra cash. Granted, it helps. There's always going to be something there you would want to buy. There was one particular person, he was not really, that I know, that me and him went to a Baltimore Comic Con one year, and he was like, well, I'm not really a comic, even though I'm interested in pop culture and all that, I'm not really a comic guy. I was like, just, you know, come along, you'll have fun, good chance. And he did have fun at that event, and what surprised him enough was that, a lot at the show, is that he told me, he's like, I wish I brought, you know, you told me I didn't really need to bring anything, and you're right in regards to spending cash, but I wish I brought, you know, $15-$20 with me to actually spend here at the show, because I love, he told me, he's like, I love collecting Matchbox cars. And there was like 5 vendors on the floor in on the dealer room that I could have easily picked up a car or two. And I would have loved to have done that. And so he was happy, and he had a great time. He was like, but he was kind of have that mixed downer of emotion that I wish I had a couple of bucks. I didn't realize it. Like, well, welcome to the show. Welcome to the club. But the aspect is you're going to have to show some restraint in regards to cash, because remember, this is a 3-day event, or this could be a 3-day event. There are some shows that are a single day, but you have to kind of restrict the amount of cash you have, because you could spend it in 15 minutes or less. You realize at some point that you have to stretch out your funds, but you don't really need a whole hell of a lot of spending cash to enjoy a convention, because again, there's panels, there could be demonstrations on floor, and there's a lot of stuff that, or even though I'm seeing a lot of it less, or I should say there are fewer and fewer instances of it actually happening, but there are still few occasions where there are people handing out free previews of certain materials. I know at some events where DC Comics was one of the main industry vendors / people at an event, they would hand out books, pins, bookmarks, rings, like little plastic rings. So, sorry about that. I had to cough. I had to grab something to drink. But there was a lot of stuff that they handed out, and sometimes you get a vendor there, like DC, that would hand out a preview comic. It might have been like 2 or 3 comics in one particular issue. So there could be stuff like that. So at a sporting event, like a outdoor type of show, you could have a book in regards to the best way to cast or best ways to get a fish or catch a fish, but. Or at a car show, there could be best ways to maintain your tires and or maintain your engine. These could be given out by, like, if it's a car show, these could be given out by Michelin Tires or the car companies themselves. So, or you could attend a panel in reference that they could tell you, or there could be a demonstration on the show floor showing you how to do these things. But that's different in regards to each show. So you don't really need money, because sometimes the shows give you stuff. You find it more so with the industry booths at a show than you do at a vendor themselves or somebody. Sometimes you get stuff from a vendor that's promoting stuff, like with podcast. We'll get into that in a moment, but if there is an artist like Big Candy is, or someone like that, that has a book coming out, they might hand you a little sampler real quick to lure you in. Or if you like the art, like, hey, here's a little sample. If you like my art style, I'll come back and buy my comic. Or if you know, here's a pin in regards to our podcast. But that's something you might see. Sometimes you'll see that at a larger show, but sometimes it's more often than not a smaller show. But That's always the beauty of a show. You don't know what to expect or what to see. But in regards to what to bring to a show other than yourself and the clothes on your back, I personally recommend bringing a backpack or a duffel bag with you. The reason why I say that is because there's a good chance you will buy stuff at a show if you do bring cash with you, or at depending on the show, there might be stuff handed to you or stuff that you could get for absolutely for free. And carrying it around all day in your hands and nothing to put it in, well, you have to have some place to put it in. I recommend a backpack, that way it's always on your back. The downside with carrying a duffel bag or a large like gym bag is that you have to put it down and you might accidentally walk away with it. Yes, that has happened to me a couple of times. I've accidentally walked away. Thankfully, it wasn't too far, but I do recommend it, at least a backpack. At least it's always on your back. That's just one person's opinion. The reason why I recommend a duffel bag or gym bag or backpack is because there have been times I've been to an event and there is no bag, that they don't give you a bag. If you buy a patch or a comic or a book, they don't give you a book. And they're like, thank you, bye. And you walk away and you're carrying on a book for the next hour and a half. Having a backpack or a duffel bag or gym bag or even one of those cloth or canvas bags that you could get at a supermarket will help. That way you have something to put that purchase into and gives you more things. You could hold more that way and carry around more in regards to that. Now, sometimes they give you a bag. Some of the dealers, not dealers, the industry folk will give you a bag. I've been to several events where sometimes, I think at one event, Sony was there promoting the PS2, and they were giving out Sony PS2 bags, and I think at one point, the comic company, what was their the industry, I think, I want to say Dark Knight, but no, the horse head, hold on, Dark Horse is the company I was thinking of. At they used to give out these giant bags at conventions that you could fit a small child in. Now, granted, the record holder for overly large bags is San Diego. They give out torso-sized bags that you could fit several small children in, but that's beside the point. But look, bank on, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So I recommend that. I also recommend bringing with you a water bottle, like a sports bottle or water bottle of some sort. Make sure when you're bringing it into the show, it's empty. I say this because this leads me into the next topic, and that's food and drink at a show. A lot of you who have never been to a convention or a large show that's held at a convention, food is mother stinking expensive. Expensive as anything. You could get a better deal off of Satan for a bottle of water. To use a pop culture reference, if you wanted water, it'd cost you an arm, a leg, and your little brother. But I've seen bottle of water go for $3, $4, $5 inside a convention center. Yet outside a convention center, it's like $1.50, $2 at the most. But inside the convention, you want a 20-ounce bottle of soda. Prepared to spend $5-6, but that's why I recommend bringing a water bottle with you. I think some convention centers, if not most, will not mind you bringing in a bottle of water with you into a convention, especially if it's hot outside. They're not going to really mind too much, especially if you bring an empty water bottle and you fill it during the day because you're in line all the time. You don't have that option of constantly going to their concession stands to buy a bottle of water, not to mention a hot dog at your local 7-Eleven, Sheetz, Circle K, whatever, which cost you a two for a dollar, if not $2 to get four or something like that. At a convention, the same hot dog is going to cost you, again, $6. But it most convention centers, if you bring in like a thing or two of Pop-Tarts or beef jerky, they're not going to complain. But what they really don't want you bring in is like a Subway sandwich and a big, in essence, catered affair inside. You know, they don't want you to bring a large bag of McDonald's stuff. Now, if you're a vendor there, they might kind of look away in regards to that because you are a vendor. But that's different. Yes, it seems hypocritical, but they would rather you spend most of when you're hungry or thirsty, they want you to spend most of your money on their concessions instead of bringing in stuff. But if I know there are people that have issues with low sugar or diabetic or dietary issues, they either need something small to eat. So having that Pop-Tart or that, you know, that piece of beef jerky helps them. And besides, if you're in line and you have the munchies, it helps. One of the things I also, there's not much more in regards to food and water. If I can say, there are some conventions that are out there. I know Otakon tends to do this. I don't remember if AwesomeCon does it, but I know Otakon tends to. And that they give you, in their book, even though they, in this book, it gives all the convention details and what's going on at the show. It also gives you a little aspect of what businesses in the area that you could go visit and have something to eat, which is very nice. Gives you a chance to try a restaurant that's new and maybe have something to eat that you're not really familiar with and have a good time outside the convention as well. What to expect at a show? In regards to that, I know this is going to come out funny, and I've said it many, many times before. If this is your first time going to a convention, it's kind of like sex. Having sex for the first time, you're going to be nervous. You could read all the material. You could have a whole mess of friends tell you about it. You could watch the videos, look at the photos. It's just not going to prepare you for the actual event. In regards to once you go, you're going to be excited. You're going to get really tired afterwards. And if everything goes right, you're going to need a cigarette and you're going to have the munchies. But but overall, you're going to be overwhelmed. It's a fun thing. You're going to... And it happens to me every now and again. I walk into that that dealer room, that industry room, and I'm like, wow, sometimes. And other times, it's like, meh. But one of the other things that you're going to have to expect at a convention, that if you're not really knowledgeable about a convention or you've never been to one, is that if there is a celebrity guest or if there are cosplayers that have a booth, they will, the autographs that they have or will be signing do cost. Now, meaning I can't speak for the cosplayers that vend, that are vendors. If you are one of these cosplayers that has a vendor booth, please, I'm willing to email us at the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. In regards to, yeah, is there a difference in pricing in regards to if you dress up as a certain particular character, whether it be a Pokemon character or another anime character or a gamer or a movie character, and someone brings something to you from that anime or that movie or that comic that wanting you to sign it, is there a fee that you charge or willing you... Or are you willing to waive a fee in regards to that? Because I know there are some cosplayers that do vend and they charge for their photograph, which comes with a free signature. Now, a lot of the celebrities, whether it be the lesser-known celebrities or the more popular A-list celebrities or wrestlers or sports artists, I wouldn't say sports artists, sports players, whether it be a baseball player, a football player, or a movie star or a musician that might be at an event, they do charge for autographs. Now, way back in the day, now I'm talking about 18 years ago or so, they didn't really charge for an autograph. I know my first convention way back, it was a Star Trek convention. The person I saw, they charged for the photo, and it came with a signature. So that was way back then, but a lot of the larger show, when I went to Wizard World many years after, a lot of the celebrities did not charge for an autograph. Neither did the artists and the comic book writers charge for an autograph at the Wizard World I went to. But as the years went on, the aspect of celebrity guests starting to charge was starting to become a thing, and they do, and the prices can range between as little as maybe $10-$15 to as high as $150-$200 for a simple signed photo. Back in those days when things were starting out, it would have been something, yes, I'm going relatively on the low end, it could have been like, hey, if you want a photograph signed, it would be $25. But if you had something of your own to sign, whether it be a small movie poster or a comic or a photograph that you got outside the event or at the event, it would have been $20 for it. Meaning $25 for a photo and a signature, and they knocked off $5 for to bring your own. So that's also what to bring with you. If you want something signed at an event, feel free to bring your what you prefer to sign. Whether if let's say you're meeting someone like Gal Gadot, who plays best known for Wonder Woman, and you're bringing a Wonder Woman tiara to be signed, or a Wonder Woman comic, you don't have to buy a photograph from her booth. You could bring something with you to be signed. Now, also, you can be original as well. I remember from a Tough, the magazine, I don't know if they're still in print. I haven't seen their issues that often, that much anymore. I would have to go to a major bookstore to see if they're still in print, and that is the company known as Tough Stuff. Now, this was a card price, sports card price guide. I think right now Beckett is the most known price guide still, but a lot of these hobby magazines that are out there, especially sports cards, in regards to sports cards, they said if you go to a sports card show, bring something different, because someone who's a baseball player, they're always signing shoes and baseballs. Bring a hockey puck, or bring a football, or bring a batting helmet. You know, bring something different for them to sign, because they're always signing, you know, baseballs. Bring something different. Same thing can be said to pop culture shows or what have you. Bring something different to be signed. I've seen in many years skateboards being offered up to be signed, Captain America shields, Monopoly boards. There's been a wide range of stuff being offered up, and not instead of the standard stuff. If you do bring something with you, please keep it within limited quantities, because I say that because going to a lot of comic book shows where there's a lot of popular artists and writers there, what tends to happen is there are a lot of people that bring 50, like 20, 30, 40, 100 books for these people to sign. And it's kind of hard to say if these are dealers. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. These are personal personal people like you and me that are bringing 100 books to get signed. And what happens is, after the third or fourth person bring 100 books to get signed, they decide, guess what, everybody? We're cutting it down to 2 books. Sometimes 1 book. And therefore, it sucks to be you if you're there getting, instead of you getting something for yourself, you want to get something extra for a friend, for a family member, or maybe somebody who can't make it to the show. But sometimes, a lot of times it's somebody that who's doing this, they might keep 1 or 2 for themselves, and everything beyond that, they're going to flip, or in essence, sell on eBay, or in a Facebook group, or something along those lines, which is sad. And with that aspect of, selling, charging for an autograph, some people, it's to deter the aspect of eBay, but it doesn't really, as a lot of people might say, it doesn't deter that aspect because, oh, it cost me $10 for this item and it cost me $20 for the signature. I'm starting out the eBay at, $30. And depending on the person that signed it and the item, that could go all the way up. Now, in regards to that, as on the collector side of things, or in regards to getting something signed, there's always been that 50-50 argument. Meaning, out of 100 people that get something, either a comic or a sports card signed, or whatever the collectible is signed, you have roughly half the people saying you shouldn't have gotten it signed because it decreases the value of it, and you have the other half saying it increases the value of it. And out of the people that, in regards to getting it signed, that item signed, half those people say, make sure it's not personalized to you. That way, if something happens to you, it could be resold. And another group of people saying, don't have it personalized. And you still have that other group saying, hey, if it's your item, have them personalize it. And another thing at shows, if you're at a comic book show, there may be a, depending on the size of the show, some artists to help move the line faster might not do a quick sketch. I know way back in the day when I first started to go to shows, I was misled by a lot of people who said that they would go to shows. Oh, you're not going to get a sketch. If you do, you're going to be extremely lucky if you do. Yeah, they'll never give you a sketch. They'll never, ever, ever, ever give you a free sketch. And about 2 years later, I go to my first Wizard World, and it was, okay, here's a quick sketch. Here's a quick sketch. And the second year I went, I brought a sketchbook with me. And one of the things I tell the artists, I'm not expecting a sketch. It's just for a catch-all. It's up to you. I'm being courteous here. I'm not asking for a sketch. And sometimes they give me a quick sketch. And sometimes they give me maybe a 5-minute sketch. Sometimes it's a 10-minute sketch. But it all depends on how many people are behind me. And yes, I've paid for sketches before, and they've been a very well done sketch. That's just, that happens. So you don't, it's all up to the person. That being said as well, please mind your P's and Q's. Mind your P's and T's. Please and thank you and being polite goes a long way. Do not be that fucking asshole. Yes, I understand there are a lot of guests that can be assholes. But if you're polite, you're courteous, you're understanding, things that would normally escalate are not that escalated. Meaning there have been a few times where there has been, it could have went that way. And things just went, I won't say downhill, but what would have been escalated in, you know, a shouting match. I've seen it before, and a lot of times it's, you know, they just came out, they were not having a good time, not having a good day, and you're not having a good day, and personalities clash. And there are times, once you're polite, they could be not having a good day, and you're there, hey, how's it going? And if you're understanding, sometimes things where you put them in a better mood for the rest of the day. You put them in better spirits. Just don't bug the celebrities. Don't bug the vendors. They're there to spread what they're doing or sell objects or sell what they're having to sell. Don't be that creep. Again, I know there are some industry booths that have either cosplayers helping promote what they're either going to be selling or releasing in the near future, and they tend to use to put it politely, attractive people in very revealing outfits, whether they are either male or female, to lure in people to their booth. These folk are there to help promote the items. They're not there to be drooled over. Again, a lot of conventions have a anti-harassment policy, an anti-bullying policy. Don't do this. Be polite. Be polite to them. If anything, ask them how it's going. In regards to photos, yes, more so. Back in years past, I'd say bring a camera, but since everybody nowadays has a cell phone with a camera attached to it in some way, shape, or form, be polite. Ask if they wish to have a photograph with you or a photograph of them to be done. If they say no, please respect that choice. What else can I say? There's not real much in regards to that to cover. There could be loads more to bring with you. Like I mentioned, bringing a sketchbook to use as a autograph book is always a good thing in most events. I think you could get one in around $10 at Walmart, maybe a little bit more, or you could go to a art store like a Michaels or a of the sort or equivalent to get a sketchbook to use as an autograph book. And that being said, if you do, if you so choose, you could take out the pages and hang them on the wall. Mini posters are always fun. If you have no protectors, there's usually somebody at the show selling poster protectors and poster tubes. And believe it or not, there are a market in regards to this. And behind the table, one of the things in regards to being behind the table, we're moving to that now. If you wish to be a vendor or in some way, shape, or form, meaning that you have something to sell or promote in some way, shape, or form, I'm going to say this. It's been in my experience, if you, please out there, if you're listening and you do a lot of vending at shows, please let me know of the exact number if you are of your experience. Again, email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or message us through one of our many social media accounts. That way we could get a better number per se. It's that in my experience I'm gonna probably do a low number in regards to this for the safe side, or a low percentage is out of 10 events that you might attend as a vendor, 9 out of 10 will provide you with a table, and that's an average fold-out table, which is, I think, 6, maybe 7 foot long, and 2 chairs. And that's it. Most of them, 9 out of 10, to provide you with 2 chairs, at least 1 or 2 chairs, badges for the event, and a table. Standard, and depending on the show, those tables could be for that booth for 1 table, 2 chairs, and tickets for the event, vendor tickets could be like $20 or $30. Now, If you want more tables or a bigger spot, it's going to cost you more. There have been many articles out there stating that depending on where you're at in the show, meaning if you're at a major event like a New York City Comic Con or a San Diego Comic Con, you're in your booth that you want is in a very high traffic area. That booth, especially if it's a corner booth with more than one table, you could spend up to $50,000-$60,000 for that spot. And that is no joke. Last year, I think it was, in regards to San Diego Comic-Con, it might have been this time last year, when we spoke about, when we covered an article in regards to Mile High Comics not being at San Diego Comic-Con that year. They stated that their booth cost was $50,000. Now, for them, they could probably easily afford that and make that money back. But for someone like you and I, that's way, way, way out of our league. Now, mind you, depending on the level of convention, meaning if it's a small local convention, the table, a single table, might be about $100, give or take. While at a larger event, a single table booth in like an artist alley somewhere, or somewhere off the beaten path a little bit, might be $500 to $1,000, depending. Yes, I'm probably lowballing it, but that's it depends on the show and who's putting on the show. Now, most people will tell you that, yes, you don't, as a vendor, you don't really need a tablecloth because the bulk of what you're selling is going to be on that table. But if you're there promoting something, or let's say you're a local author that wants to sell more of your books, you might want like a tablecloth or some sort of table covering. Now, what me and Big Candy found out just about a week or so ago is that if you're given the standard 6-foot-long table, a basic twin-sized fitted sheet could easily be used as a tablecloth because you don't need anything to secure it to the table. It just fits over nice and neat. And both of us, because Big Candy's one that kind of told me about using a tablecloth to help promote, you know, make the table look nice, even though you don't really need it, it helps. And he was like, son of a bitch, you know, why wasn't even I told about this? And I was like, yeah, I know, right? And it's one of those things that I happily shared with a lot of people. It's, you don't expect something like that can be easily used and easily acquired. And if you do, you want a tablecloth to cover your table to promote whatever, whether it's your local business or what have you, go to a Goodwill or a Salvation Army to see if they have a solid color fitted bed sheet for a twin bed sheet for your table, because that way you're saving some money. And the same thing goes for back as a ticket holder. To get that bag, it doesn't have to be a expensive duffel bag or expensive book bag. Go to a garage sale, pick one up on the cheap. You know, you don't have to spend $30-$40, you know, at Walmart or JCPenney for a bag when you go to a yard sale and pick one up for $2. Or a Salvation Army for, you know, instead of paying $20, you're paying $10. So it doesn't have to be, totally expensive. It could be something simple enough to serve your needs. Now, if you do pick up a used table, like a bed sheet from a Salvation Army or Goodwill, make sure there's no spots on it. Make sure you run it through the wash once or twice. Or if you want, buy something brand new. Make sure, I recommend a solid color. Choose your favorite color. Now, mind you, if you're at a pop culture event, and if let's say you're doing selling your own novel or something like that, and it's sci-fi based, a space pattern might not, it might draw people to your your table, as well as, if you want, bring a sign. Bring a type of, if you're able to acquire, I don't know where to get them, a type of extendable stands to hang a sign behind you. If not, you could get a banner to put attached to the table somewhere, somehow. I know there is one event that we'll be going to that we are required to have a tablecloth. Again, you don't really need one, but they're requiring everybody to have a tablecloth. But that's that. Now, as per vendor stuff, one of the things that you have to realize, even though you're spending, let's go on the cheap end for the sake of things, you're spending $100 for that spot, or $150 for two tables at a particular show. Remember, you have to have enough to sell to cover those two tables. That's number one. If you're staying there overnight at that event, you have to not only cover your table cost, you have to cover your travel costs as well. So if you're spending a total of $200 or $300 for that total weekend, you have to make at least $300 to break even, and maybe more if you want to go to another event down the road. Again, I welcome everybody who vends or promotes at a convention to chime in to tell us your tales and your tips and tricks. One of the things I want to cover in regards to this, I know it's scatterbrain, but there have been people to increase sales on the last day. They've been known to reduce some of their prices, and in order to cover table costs, and to bring back less items than they arrived with. So for you as a ticket holder out there, this is a good way to save money. It's sometimes happens on the last day of the show, but again, if you catch a particular vendor or a particular artist or a particular somebody at just the right moment, you could probably get a discount on the first day or the second day. You don't have to wait the last day to get a great deal. But it more often than happens on the last day. Sometimes there's been instances where I picked up something and asked, how much is, this particular comic or this particular statue or this particular poster? And they said, I've been carrying that sucker around for like past 4 months. I wanted it the hell out of here. You know what? It says $20. Take it for 10. Get it off my damn hands. And you know what? If I got $10, guess what I'm buying? But that's the thing. You don't necessarily, it's not really a courtesy if you're vending or promoting anything to do that. Some people do, some vendors don't. So it all depends on, it is, there's like an event math that usually happens. But it's weird, it's interesting. You have to be a part of the event. On being on the other side of the table is a very interesting thing. You get to know the vendors. The vendors get to be a different type of family. The reason why I say that is that being a ticket holder, you see a lot of the same folks year in and year out. Everybody tends to go to the same events, and we see a lot of the same ticket fans going to the events, and it's like, hey, glad to be back. And it's like one big family. And the same thing happens with vendors. We tend to see a lot of, we hit up a lot of the same events sometimes, and we get to see a lot of the same familiar faces, which is also a good thing. It's a way of feeling a little bit more comfortable at a new event if we see somebody we recognize, and it always helps. And besides, seeing a lot of the familiar vendors, they give you a lot of good tips and tricks as well, meaning that, oh, you got to check out this event. There's going to be a lot of people hitting this event. It might be good for you if you're able to get there. And that insider information is always passed around. So it always helps if you're in that aspect of being behind the table. And if you're chosen to do a panel yourself, or you choose to do a panel, because I know, I think AwesomeCon does it, and I think Otacon does it as well. They let you submit in for a panel, meaning that you get to do your own panel at the event, either on one of the days that they're, if it's a three-day event, one of those days you're able to do a panel in one of the many areas to do the panels at. So let me say this. If it's your first panel, it's going to be like a train wreck or a car wreck. If you've ever been, hopefully you've never been in a car wreck or a car accident, but it's kind of the same thing. You walk in there, you're very nervous, you're very hyped up, and by the time you get off that or out of that panel, you're shaking like a leaf in a hurricane. And I say that because it has happened with me with our first panel at a four-state event when we were first starting this out. So that being said, it's like when I walked into that event, that panel, I was hyped. I was ready to go. I did it. I had a good time doing it. It was a fun experience. I enjoy doing the panels now. I'm more used to them. But when I walked out of that, it felt like I just walked out of a car accident. I was shaking. I needed to sit down. I wasn't really nervous going into it. I was, but I wasn't. But I was shaking like a leaf afterwards, and Big Candy could kind of back me up on that. So you're able to do that. Just make sure you're prepared in regards to it, that you have a lot of information in regards to it, the topic that you're talking about, and that way you don't really sound like an idiot, but sometimes it happens. It's probably happened to me, and in some of the panels, I'm sure there's a lot of people that when I've dropped the ball, they help pick it up and ran with it. And therefore, I was able to recoup myself in the long run. But that's the wonderful thing about it, being behind the table. I'm sure there's many tips and tricks. Again, if you've vended, if you're a vendor at an event, whether large or small, or both, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or contact us through our social media accounts and let us know what your tips and tricks are, or share us your stories with us in regards to it, and we will read them on the air. Now, the last kind of a section that I want to bring up in regards to everything is being a podcaster at a lot of these events. Now, this will be our second year covering a big convention. Again, granted, it's the same convention as last year that we're covering, which is Otacon. Last year was our first time my first time covering a large convention, and it was very nerve-wracking because I didn't really know what was going to happen. Yeah, granted, I've covered smaller, in regards to four-state events, a smaller show, and I've covered like a library event and other small shows. It's something that I'm able to used to, it's that increasing that scale. Going from a large to a small might be a little bit easier to do because you're already thinking big. Now all you have to do is think a little bit smaller. You could apply the same formula to the smaller event. Now, the reason why I say it might be a little bit different to apply the same formula from a small event to a large event, because you might be able to get away with a lot of stuff at a small event that you're not really able to do at a large event, which is very, very different for a podcaster. Now, a lot of larger events, as we covered earlier this year with AwesomeCon, and we've talked about in regards to with Dobbs when he was on our show a couple of months ago, is that a lot of events do not like podcasters, vloggers, or even YouTubers, because they feel and they've had a lot of experience that they've given press passes or media passes to these podcasters, YouTubers, vloggers or bloggers, and those particular people did not cover the event. They just wanted the free tickets. Therefore, it sucks to be everybody else that wants to go to an event and cover it and do what, in essence, we do, which is we want to bring all of you to the event when we cover it. And I've tried to turn that off and just kind of relax that bit a little bit when it comes to, okay, I'm going to be at this event as just a ticket holder. That's it. And all of a sudden, I'm there, I'm taking video, I'm taking photos, I'm thinking of new ways of promoting the show and getting interviews, so forth and so on. And it's like, I can't help but not turn it off. I'm in this mindset now of promoting the show and everything else. And that's why I won't say that's why I want to thank, but I would like to thank someone like Matt, especially Matt Burns, for allowing us to try out new things at his event and giving us at least the show a way of learning and kind of reining us in every now and again. He hasn't had to do that with us, but he, in a way, like, okay, this is what we want to do. This is what you're allowed to do. And he works with the show a lot in regards to what we do. And there is a lot of professionalism with us. And that's one of the things out there. If you're a podcaster or you want to be a podcaster, being polite, being professional. I think when we first started 3 years ago, we weren't as professional. But we have come out now, and I think with a lot of newer events that are happening in the area, like the Eastern Panhandle Paracon, I think they might be, they've been very kind to us so far, and I think me being very professional has helped us get to that event, and it might have come off a little bit intimidating, because they're not expecting someone like our show to come in and kind of take over a little bit in regards to covering everything and doing what we do. And that might be the thing that happens to a lot of newer shows when there are with YouTube and being a vlogger and being a podcaster. They're not used to, they might be expecting someone like us to show up, to cover the event, do interviews, and so forth and so on, but they're not really expecting us. They don't know what to expect. The attitude is, especially when you have people like Logan Paul that are causing a fuss, and they're not being respectful. I'm not saying Logan Paul is always disrespectful, but he has a history in the past of doing such. But that is just him. But with us, it just felt like, really, we're here to cover an event. We know what we're doing, and or at least we think what we know what we're doing, or we have a plan of kind of an attack of what we want to do, what we want to cover, you know, what we want to record, and it just seems intimidating to someone who's doing a show for the first time, and or a level of that, because we're used to of when we go to a 4-day event. It's like, hey, Matt, we're here, what can we do? And they're like, okay, just, you know, this is what you can and can't do. And we're very polite with Matt, and he works with us. And we have that little bit of a leeway at his events. So he's allowed us to learn and grow and kind of be very, you know, if we did something wrong, he'd be the first to tell us. And good chance we'd be the first to apologize, too. But for the most part, that hasn't happened yet, thankfully, but because we try to be respectful and we really try to be polite, just that in a smaller setting or someone who's new to the aspect, we are very, very, we could come off as intimidating. And the thing is, with being a podcaster, you have a lot of people like, well, do you have a studio? Do you realize the only people that really have a studio are the major podcasters, maybe like Joe Rogan or Adam Carolla, or, you know, someone like, you know, Chris Hardwick. We don't have that. We're on the move. And it's like, just give us a date and time. We'll schedule it with like a daily grind. But with an event, we do come off as intimidating. If you are a new podcaster, ask. That's the best thing you can do. The best advice I got in regards to trying to cover events and live events or conventions is to ask. Dive into their, you know, their what their media pass policy is, if they have one. Ask. And when it came to Matt, when we were starting out, we were asking Matt, like, okay, what can we do? What should we do? And him knowing what he knows and how he deals, he saw the benefit of having us there. And therefore, we were able to learn with him, and whether or not he has a media pass policy, we're a part of it. And we ask, we cover it, we work within the rules that he lays down. Other times when we're trying to cover an event, whether it be Otakon, we follow their rules. Otakon has like this, one of the simplest and easiest rules out there in regards to requesting interviews. It's just a matter of hearing back from them in regards to the details of who's what, when, where's, how's, and why's. Because their policies are different than what Matt does, and Matt might be a different policy than someone else does on his level, but it's all different, and you have to conform to that. It's very tricky, and we don't look like your atypical YouTube vlogger, because we don't really need, even though it would probably help us, a $600 camera or anything like that. We work on the cheap, and you can do a lot of things on the cheap as well as the high-end expensive stuff. And it's fun. We get just good quality as the next person a lot of the time. But we will be at Paracon again this Saturday, the 21st and 22nd, promoting. Just remember that if we do a meetup at a convention or event, because we're there promoting, they do charge for tickets to get inside. They do charge admission. I think with Paracon there, we will be doing a meetup there. We do ask you to attend and be polite while there. If anything, we will meet you outside if you want to say hi and you can't afford to get in. But we will come out and say hi and meet up with you and talk to you. But there is an admission. I think the prices are $10 a day, $15 for the weekend. Might be $12 a day, $15 for the weekend. Don't quote me on it. Just search for Eastern Panhandle Paracon on Facebook, and it'll bring up a lot of the information for that. I think if you did a Google search, I'll bring up their website as well. That's that in regards to that. I just want to end this here because we've been rambling on for now. It's been almost an hour and a half in regards to the show, so I'm going to end it here. I'm going to finish up saying that in August, we'll be at Otakon again for our second year in a row. We'll be covering it. We'll be getting video like we'll be doing at Paracon. We'll be getting video, audio, photos, the whole nine yards. We'll be sharing our experiences on YouTube, on Facebook, and everywhere else, including a lot of social media, Twitter, Instagram. Let's see. In September, we will be at the Four State Punk Rock Flea Market in Shepherdstown. And that's September 8th. It's a Saturday. It's a single-day event. I don't think that there is an admission to that. Just search up the Four State. When the event gets near, we'll put an event. I should be doing an event up there now in regards to it. And in October, we will be at the Four State Pop Culture Show, the Comic-Con that will be in Hagerstown, Maryland. That is August 20th and 21st, I believe it is. As the days get closer and closer, we'll give you more and more accurate information as well as who's going to be there, because until time gets closer, the card is subject to change. So until then, we'll let you know in regards to that, but we will there be promoting and what's going on with that. Who knows? We might be doing a panel there. That's up to Matt and his team in regards to that. So what else can I say? In regards to, you heard me say it several times tonight, I'd like to hear convention stories from all of you out there, if you have them. Did you do a panel? Did you vend at a particular convention? Was it a national type of convention like an Otakon or a Baltimore Comic Con or a New York City Comic Con? Or was it a small show? Did you do both? I want to hear from you and what your tips and tricks might be. And we could do an amended version sometime down the road. Or if you have a crazy tale to tell in regards to a convention, please let us know. Again, our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And our social media, because you heard us mention it several times today, and I should say this week, and that is our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Our Twitter and Instagram handle is the same thing, and that is LongCoatMafia. And we do have a YouTube channel. The link is in the show's description down below. As per finding us, our show, for the most part, if you are on the go, if you're listening from somebody or anything else like that, if you want to hear us on the go, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, the Stitcher Radio app, the Spotify app, and the Podbean app. Personally, I recommend, even though it's your choice which one you wish to use, I personally recommend the Podbean app because, one, it covers all platforms in regards to mobile, both iOS and Android, and it allows you to listen to all the shows that we have in our back catalog, going way back to the beginning, and there's a lot of interesting content that is back there with the con interviews, event recordings, and everything else. A lot of stuff to 3 years worth of content, over 150 episodes that you could listen to. Please check us out using at least the Podbean app. That's the best idea. But if you're more of a desktop person, you can always subscribe to us through iTunes. You could also listen to us through Spotify, their website. You could also listen to us through Stitcher Radio. You could, as always, follow us on Podbean or go to our Podbean site, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and you can listen to us on stream us through that our own website or the Podbean site, or you could download our episodes and listen to them on your preferred computer's MP3 player of choice, whether it's a Windows or an iTunes or something like that, whatever it is, that's your choice. What else? Again, everything. Please like and follow us on both Facebook and YouTube at the least, because there are going to be times that we post up a Facebook only exclusive video, and there's going to be times we put up a YouTube only exclusive video. That's because there are some things that YouTube won't allow us post due to potential copyright issues, meaning if there's music playing, they might kick the video off because they might get copyright stricken. So, and Facebook doesn't really care that much, so that's why we tend to do that. And vice versa, we might put a longer video on YouTube than it would be on Facebook, because YouTube favors a lot more of the longer content than Facebook. Now, with changes to Instagram, again, our username there is LongCoatMafia. We might be doing some live videos there as well as Facebook. So please subscribe to both. There are going to be times where we put up a very few exclusive photos on our Instagram. We're very active every now and again, or more so on Twitter. As for going back to our YouTube channel, you could search for Longcoat Mafia on YouTube and the channel will come up, but as per a slash Longcoat Mafia, we don't have that much of a subscriber base for YouTube to allow us to do that, but we do have, again, a link in the description directly to our YouTube channel. So you could easily follow that. Or you could go to our webpage, which is, again, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And just look at the show description. The link is right there, right next to YouTube. So that's that. That's our show for this week. So be prepared for a lot of stuff coming from Paracon, Otacon, and the Punk Rock Show, and the 4-State Show that's in October. So there's a lot of stuff coming your way. Stay tuned. Click that follow. Click that subscribe button. There's going to be a lot of stuff that all of you are going to enjoy, and you are not going to want to miss out on what we're going to be giving you. So stay tuned, stay connected, and everything else. And we'll hopefully see you next week with a lot of content to be spread out over the next couple of weeks, months, and who knows. So thank you all. Have a great week, and good night.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.